Matthew 13, verse 31 to 33. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said,
"Sir, didn't you sow good seeds in your field? Where did the weeds come from?"
"An enemy did this,"
he replied. The servants asked him,
"Did you want us to go pull them up?"
"No,"
he answered,
"because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'"
The parable of the weeds explained. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The only one who sowed the good seeds is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seeds stand for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Whoever has ears, let them hear.
We as adults are going to spend a few more minutes looking at this passage, particularly the parable of the weeds that Jesus tells. So if you want to find out in the church Bibles, they're on page 979, Matthew 13. And I want to just recognize Jesus' teaching is often uncomfortable for us. He probes our hearts. He says things that we think are a bit harsh, but we should listen to him. Because through Matthew's gospel, he's been demonstrating that he's God the Son, God come into this world as one of us. His power and authority, his kindness and compassion have been displayed as evidence. He's the one who knows. And at the same time, while his teaching may strike us as harsh at times, the reality is we live in a harsh world. We live in a world where all sorts of difficult and hard things happen. And the hope Jesus gives us is not soft, fluffy optimism, but real hope for a real broken world. I want to suggest that in these parables, Jesus answers one of our biggest questions to God. Why do you allow evil to continue, God? But as he answers it, he sort of also then turns it back and asks us a very penetrating question in response. Are you the sort of person who is ready for God to deal with evil? Are you the sort of person who is ready for God to deal with evil? So think about this question we ask. Why do you allow evil to continue, God? The children shared all sorts of really bad things that happen in the world that you think, God, why won't you deal with it? It's horrible to see this evil. We think of God. God's all powerful. And we imagine, surely, God, you could do a sort of good version of Thanos finger click. Not just wiping out half of people randomly, but just wiping out evil. Just a finger click. Wipe out evil, it would all be much better, wouldn't it, God? And Jesus says, no, that's not how it works. He starts that in those parables of the kingdom we started with, the mustard seed and the yeast. He says, there's a principle. The kingdom starts slowly. It starts small. It grows slowly. It ends up large. God's way of working is not the sort of the makeover show where they bring in lots of people over a weekend and transform the house. He's more of the, I move in to live in it and I slowly do DIY over the next 5 years sort of approach. It's a slower transformation that hopefully lasts. And we still say, well, why, God? Why this slow work? And that's what the parable of the weeds helps us to see. God doesn't bring in the kingdom fully now, he allows it to grow slowly with much evil around it because he doesn't want to lose any people. He doesn't want to lose any people. Look again at verse 28. The servants, hearing that an enemy sowed weed among the goods of the kingdom, they ask our question, do you want us to go and pull them up? Lord, do you want us to deal with that evil and get rid of it now? It seems that God's angels have the ability to spot evil and destroy it. But the owner, the Son of Man, Jesus, says, no. Verse 29. No, he answered, because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the weed with them. Why does God allow evil to continue? Because he doesn't want to lose any people. God values additions to his kingdom and people in his kingdom growing up to maturity and bearing fruit so much that he's willing to endure all the evil that there is in the world. The picture he gives is of two seeds landing right next to each other. And as they've sprouted and grown, they've said already that the roots are meshed together, the stems are intertwined. And Jesus can see very clearly the evil, but he sees that if he deals with it now, he would also remove kingdom growths that would eventually lead to fruit. He'll reduce his harvest. There'll be less people in his kingdom. He's very aware of the evil that's there, that there's an enemy. He knows there'll be counterfeits and opposition, but he loves people being added to his kingdom. Just think, if Jesus had ended the world one day before I put my faith in Christ, what would have happened? Well, what about you? What day would you like God to deal with evil? Isn't it going to be the day after you're in the kingdom? He delays and he delays and delays because there are more and more people who he wants to enter his kingdom. He's delayed it for 2,000 years. He'll delay it longer. And if we are in the kingdom, if we're those who have trusted in Jesus and said, yes, I think I'm ready for that day, there are people we love, people around us who we think, but I'd love God to delay longer. I don't want him to uproot what might be the beginnings of a kingdom work in them. I want them to have a chance to become kingdom people who are ready to live eternity with God. And so that's why the kingdom, why God doesn't wipe out evil now. He loves it for more, he's waiting for more people to come into the kingdom. He wants kingdom fruit to grow, people to come into his kingdom. But as I said, he also turns the question back on us. He sort of asks, are you ready? Are you ready for me to wipe out evil? It's going to happen. But on that day, are you ready? Let me step back a bit and just explain how I'm trying to think about this. I think there's something in every human heart that longs for a perfect world. We know that's what it's meant to be like. A world with no suffering or sadness, no conflict, no disability, no poverty, no death, no broken relationships. A world full of good things, deep relationships, where it's never ending. And that's what we long for. But just imagine if there was such a perfect world and then all the people of Northstow and Long Stanton and Willingham and Swavesey were put in that perfect world. How long do you think it would stay perfect? Surely, when we arrived, the environment would be pristine and fruitful, but how long would it be before we polluted it and spoiled it with our greed and selfishness? And all these people put into that perfect place, wouldn't we very quickly form factions and disagreements and be unkind and gossip? And, well, there would soon be broken relationship. There would soon be suffering. Because the problem is, if you just pick me up and put me in a perfect world, I'll mess it up. The problem isn't the world around me. The problem is me. We are the people who, in Jesus' words in verse 41, do evil and cause sin. That's the reality. We've all done it this week. We've all provoked others. We've all failed to do what we should have said and done, and we've all thought wicked things. None of us are the sort of people who can live in God's perfect world forever because we'd ruin it. So we have to be weeded out for God's perfect world to come. But the day when God deals with evil is the day when he weeds out people who can't live in his perfect world because they've got sin in them. If you want to live in God's perfect world forever, you have to be people who shine like the sun. People whose righteousness is not just a sort of little patch here and there, but everything. The sun doesn't have dark patches on it. It, at least not what we can see with our naked eye. I don't know what astronomers will tell us. It just shines gloriously from every part. And that's what we'd need to be like if we were to be in God's perfect world forever. People for whom righteousness is everything. Everything we are is righteous and good. We need to be the sort of people who can control our desires, love others, care for the environment, and not mess it up. And that might sound like very bad news, because then we say, well, I'm not ready to be in that kingdom. I'm not ready for Jesus to weed out people who are evil. But Jesus is telling this parable to reassure disciples that it's good to be in the kingdom. He's saying to them, look, I'm the sower. I sow seed. And in the previous parable, he's been saying, that's my word. I give a message about how you can be made right with God through faith in me. I give a message about the kingdom and say, come to me as your king and I'll deal with all the mess. I'll deal with all the mess. So you can enter the kingdom, not by being perfect now, but by saying to Jesus, I welcome you as king, as the one who's going to do this restoration project in my life. I'm not the current sort of person who can live forever in your kingdom. I can't even make myself that perfect person, even if I tried hard. Even if I try really hard all week, by the end of it, I'm still not the sort of person who could do that. But Jesus is. And so I'm going to hand myself over to him and say, Jesus, I trust your word. I want it to be at work in me. I want you to be the one doing this restoration project. I want you to make me the sort of person who could live forever in your perfect world. Put to death everything that's evil in me. And sow good love and life into me so that I'm the sort of person who can live forever in your perfect world. And that's actually what the cross is doing. The cross, one of the ways you can understand the cross is it's Jesus putting to death whatever is bad in humanity and then giving a new humanity, a living humanity, through the resurrection to everybody who welcomes him. He's making us the sort of people who could live forever in God's perfect world. Not that we fully get there in this life. It's going to wait till he comes again before we see the perfect people that God wants us to be. But we have to have welcomed him being in charge of this restoration project. If we say to him, no, I'm going to sort it out myself, Jesus, I don't need your help, then we won't be the sort of people who can live forever in God's perfect world. We'll be those who are weeded out. The harvest day is coming. Not something we bring, something Jesus is going to do in his time. We don't know when it is. But each of us now is a mixture of good and evil. And the question is, on the day when Jesus deals with evil, are we going to be those who he takes the evil out of us, but he rescues us because we've welcomed him doing that? We've said to Jesus, you've got permission to take the evil out of my life and to make me someone who shines like the sun in righteousness. Or are we going to be those for whom we've clung on to the evil? We've said, Jesus, you're not going to do anything to me. I cling on to the evil. And he says, well, if you're clinging on to the evil, when I cast out the evil, I cast out you. That is the way Jesus tells this parable. That's what he's doing. He's challenging us. And so we need to ask the question, am I ready? Am I ready for the day when Jesus deals with evil? Welcome the word of Jesus today. Let the kingdom be born in you and slowly grow in you. Persevere in growing as kingdom people, even if there's much evil around you, knowing that God is allowing that evil to continue because he wants you to grow and he wants other people to come into the kingdom. Let's just take a moment to think quietly for ourselves. How am I responding to what Jesus is saying in these parables? Before we sing a final song to celebrate that day when he does deal with evil.